Sitaram, Jaya, Sitaram, Jaya, Sitaram. Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय गौर प्रेमानंद हरे कृष्णा Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our first program of this Sita Ramana Katha. They were not supposed to see the kirtan. So, it's nice to see all of you here, and I was just thinking how we're coming from so many places, far and wide, from Deutschland, and from New York, and from Croatia, and from Chicago. Croatia, Chicago.
It's a long list.
Yeah. And
where else are we from? From India, of course. Yes, from Vrindavan. Hari Bol. And Fiji. From Fiji. Oh, yeah, very good. So, yes, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's very international. So the theme of our yatra is the heart of the devotee, or the hearts of the devotees, we need a microphone for translation. And so I was thinking, who is in the heart of the devotee? Lord Krishna. As Kratu Prabhu pointed out yesterday, in the heart of Krishna are the devotees. So in the heart of the devotees is Lord Krishna. And who is with Lord Krishna? Srimati Radharani. Now, according to Rupa Goswami, there are three principal forms of the Lord. We're getting some accompaniment from the parrot outside. Shuka. Three forms of the Lord. There is Lord Krishna, there is Lord Rama, and Lord Nrsingadev. These three are principal. And so I think it's appropriate that we discuss, we don't discuss so much Ram Lila in our Krishna consciousness movement, although we chant every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So of course, in a few days, we're going to be celebrating Bala Rama's appearance. And so on that day, we will say that the name Rama refers to Balarama, right? Although it can refer to Balarama, and it can also refer to Rama as Ramachandra. Dasharatha Sutta, Ramachandra. Mm. I thought we can a little bit attempt to correct. I don't want to say it's an imbalance, but I think there is a place in our tradition for hearing about, chanting about, glorifying, remembering Rama and his pastimes. After all, one of the very dear devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, named Murari Gupta, he was actually a friend from childhood, was a great devotee of Rama. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attempted to, shall we say, convert him to become a Krishna Bhakta. Imagine, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself comes to you and says, you really should worship Krishna. Please worship Krishna. And you say, no, I can't do it, sorry. Why? Because Murari Gupta is a devotee of Rama. Why is he a devotee of Rama? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, well, it's quite obvious that Murari Gupta was none other than Hanuman, Hanumanji. So how is Hanuman going to start worshiping Krishna, right? And there are other Rama Bhaktas mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We also have in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the ninth canto, a very compact description of Rama Leela. I believe it covers two chapters, maybe three. Two chapters in any case. Two, yes. So there's a summary, you can say, in preparation for it. It's just coming to the end before the beginning of the tenth canto, concentrating on Lord Krishna. So there is, in a sense, blended within our tradition of worship of Lord Krishna, remembering Krishna, there is also the remembrance and worship of Lord Rama. In fact, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. One sage named Karabhajana Muni is speaking to one Maharaj Nimi. Nimi apparently means the blinking of the eyes. So Maharaj, I blink. And he says, see if I can remember, Tyaktva sudusyaja surepsita raja lakshming dharmishta arya vachasa yadagadaranyam maya mrigam dayitayepsita manvadavat Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. This is a prayer to Mahapurusha, who is identified as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but who is also identified, the verse is, our acharyas tell us, describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and also Krishna, Lord Krishna's pastimes, and also Lord Rama's pastimes. So it's a three-in-one verse, description of the pastimes of the Lord. I'll read the translation of that verse, which we have in our Bhagavatam. It goes like this. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune. tyatva sudustya ja sarepsita raja lakshmin, and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after by even the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to a brahmana's curse. Now here you may wonder, what's the brahmana's curse with regard to Lord Rama? Well, one explanation is given that King Dasharatha, he is certainly a kshatriya, and yet he was so highly qualified, he was in so many respects practically like a brahmana. But then you may say, what is this about curse? Certainly the last thing in Dasharatha's mind was a curse. Well, the curse is actually upon Dasharatha. And so, because of the curse upon him, which is associated with his death after Rama's departure, so in this way the verse applies. Tyaktva sudusya jasarepsita raja lakshmin dharmishta arya vachasa. By the words of an Arya, or Brahmana. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls. Now here, the expression is maya mrigam dayita hipsitam anvadavat, chasing after maya mriga. So, taking this verse in reference to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's translated like this. He is chasing after the soul, conditioned souls who are covered by Maya, but with reference to Ramachandra, Maya Mriga. What means Mriga? Yeah, it can mean, broadly speaking, animal, specifically a wild animal. And then it comes to mean a deer. So the Maya Mriga is the illusory deer that was appearing. Maricha. Maricha? Marichi. Maricha, yeah. Was appearing as this Maya Mriga. So in that context, Rama is running after this Maya Mriga. On the behest, on the request of Sita. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyamasundara. Well, this is translation understanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, my point is that Ram, Krishna, and Chaitanya, I spoke of Krishna, Rama, and Nrsimha as being the most important forms of the Lord according to Rupa Goswami. But here we have Krishna, Rama, and Chaitanya all bundled together in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto. So therefore, we can talk about Rama and Sita. And Sita, Rama, in the heart of the devotee. So, as I said last night, I would like to concentrate on, I would like to focus on Sita and Rama. There's so much in the pastimes of Lord Rama. But of course, we can say the center of the pastimes of Lord Rama is the relation of Rama and Sita. And I want to do this sort of venturing a bit out of areas we usually venture among devotees, namely into the version of Rama Lila which is presented by Tulsidas in his Rama Charita Manasa, or Ram Charit Manas, as it's generally called. The Ram Charit Manas, or the lake of the pastimes, the activities, Charit of Rama. Again, as I said last night, the Ram Charit Manas was composed by Tulsidas in the 16th century. We don't know exact birth year of Tulsidas. It's debated. Some say 1497, some say 1532, some say both years of which would have been within the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Some say he appeared somewhat later than that. In any case, he lived toward up to the end of the what we in the West would call the 16th century. And he did a lot of writing. He apparently came from a Brahmin family. He was very well educated in Varanasi, in Sanskrit literature. So he would have studied the Valmiki Ramayana. And he wrote in, as I said yesterday, the Avadhi a dialect of Hindi, but he also wrote some poems in the Brajabhasa dialect of Hindi. One of his works is called the Kavitavali, and the Kavitavali is little poems, sort of one-verse poems about Sita and Rama. Very sweet. But the most famous of his works, of course, is the Ram Charit Manas. And as I said also yesterday, for many people in North India, Ram Charit Manas is their scripture. It is the most sacred of sacred literature, such that many people memorize it from beginning to end. It's quite long. I can't say how many verses. It has two types of verses. It has dohas, and I think they're called chopai. Chopai? Yeah. And it has seven khandas, like the Valmiki Ramayana. There is one sort of tribe in Chhattisgarh, in the what is now a new state of India, Chhattisgarh, there's a group of people called the Ram Namis. And the Ram Namis, some of their elders, they memorize the Ram Charit Manas, and they discuss. They come together and they have little competitions of quoting Ram Charit Manas. And some of these people, both men and women, they have their bodies tattooed gradually over many years with the name Rama. All, literally all over.
On their face also?
Yeah. Face, nose, everywhere. Yeah. That's what they do. Ram, 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 Ram. Anyway, that tradition, they're a kind of Nirguna Bhaktas. What's a Nirguna Bhakta? How can you be a Nirguna Bhakta, we may ask. Well, I'm,
no
may not, huh?
They have no qualities.
Well, their idea is that the ultimate reality is nirguna, but you can be devoted to that nirguna. That's nirgun bhakti. Nirgun bhakti. Isn't it? There are many in North India like that. The Ramcharitmanas is considered to be a kind of interplay of nirguna and saguna bhakti. But saguna is said to prevail. It's the most, it's the stronger emphasis and the most important. Yeah, okay. So, we'll begin this evening with some excerpts. I'm going to be doing a bit of reading. I'll try not to read too fast. This is very rich imagery, and this is one reason I wanted to share this with you. I would say we can see the Ramcharitmanas as a kind of embellishment of the Valmiki Ramayana. Some details will be different also. For example, according to the Ramcharitmanas, Parashuram appears to Lord Rama before the wedding, whereas in Valmiki Ramayana, it's after the wedding, on their way home, back going back to Ayodhya, that Parashuram suddenly appears and obstructs the way of Rama. Anyway, like that, there will be some differences. But I think if one just is aware of them, then it's okay. let me see now how we begin. Well, I think we shall begin with the first sight, the first meeting of Sita and Rama. It's very romantic. And this is nice to think of, if we think of Sita and Rama in the heart of the devotee, then it's nice to think of this romance. Now, at this point you may say, well, we think of Radha Krishna, thank you very much. So we don't want to confuse matters. Why should we be thinking of Sita and Ram? Well, I would suggest this. Rama is known as Maryada Purushottama. And Krishna is known as Lila Purushottama. Maryada. What does Maryada mean? Yes, it literally means boundary. So yes, it comes to mean rules and regulations. Rama is very much associated with Dharma, right? And when we think of the pastimes of Rama, we think of how he's very concerned to observe Dharma. Krishna's the opposite. Krishna likes to break all the rules. He doesn't care so much. Or at all. Yeah. So, here's my little proposal, is that because Rupa Goswami says Krishna and Rama and Nrsingadeva are all principal forms of the Lord, there's suggested here a kind of balancing. The Bhagavatam says, Dharma projita kaita votra paramonir matsaranam satam. Rejecting all forms of cheating Dharma, this Bhagavata Purana will expound on the highest truth. So, sometimes when some devotees might think the Bhagavatam is rejecting all Dharma. No, it's not rejecting all Dharma. It's rejecting all cheating Dharma. It's not rejecting Dharma. In fact, arguably the Bhagavatam is as much about Dharma as it is about bhakti. It's about how bhakti and dharma are related. So to hear about Rama and Sita is to put a bit more emphasis on dharma. And a little dose of dharma now and then is not a bad thing. Okay. Rama and Lakshmana have been traveling with the sage Vishvamitra. Dasharatha was not happy about this, but he could not avoid agreeing that Rama go with Vishvamitra in order to solve the problem that Vishvamitra was having as he performed sacrifice, namely being harassed again and again by demons. What was the name of the demons? Maricha and Subahu and Taraka. Yes. So, Ram and Lakshman follow Vishvamitra to the forest, and they come to the place where Vishvamitra is performing sacrifice, and there they have their adventures. After receiving a kind of initiation by Vishvamitra, namely an initiation into mantras, which are weapon mantras. So, in other words, they have become empowered by Vishvamitra to perform the defense actions which they have been called to do. So all of this happens in a very glorious way. We're not going to linger on these pastimes. After this, then, Vishvamitra leads Lakshmana and Rama to the land of Janaka Raj. Vishvamitra has some ideas that it just might be the case, in fact he knows it will be the case, that Rama is going to win the hand of Sita, because he's going to be able to fulfill the vow of King Janaka, which is that no one shall win the hand of his daughter unless and until that man, that hero, lifts the bow of Shiva, which is in his care. Now here's another little difference. You'll find, as I remember, in the Valmiki Ramayana, the challenge was to lift and string the bow. In Ramcharitamanas, the challenge is to break the bow. Which is another difference. In any case, they arrive in the city of, what is this, Janaka's? Mithila. Yes, they arrive in Mithila and are welcomed. Janaka Raj is very happy to see the beauty, the handsomeness. Tulsidas loves to describe Lord Rama and Lakshmana, these handsome young boys, these stunningly handsome young boys as they come. And all the people of Mithila are also stunned to see this attractive young boy, these two attractive young boys coming. Young teenagers, we should say. So they settle into Mithila, you can say. And then the next morning, because Rama and Lakshmana are serving Vishvamitra, so Vishwamitra has his daily worship to perform, and Rama and Lakshmana want to assist, and so they enter a garden. Yes. A little bit of the avadhi, how it sounds. I'll try to read. Sakala sochakari jai naha e nitya nibahi manihi siranaye samaya jani gura aya supayi lena prasuna chale da ubhayi Bhupa bhagu bara deke ujjayi jaha basanta riturahi lobayi lage bittapa manohara nana barana barana barabeli bitana nava pallava pala sumana sahaye nija sampati sura rukkala jaye ja Chatakal kokila kira chakora kujata bihaga natata kalamora madhya bhaga saru soha suhaba mani supana bichitra banava bimala salilu sarasija bahuranga jala bimala salilu sarasija bahuranga. That's it. Bimala salilu sarisija bahuranga jalakaja kujata kunta kunjata bringa. Okay. All right, what does that mean? Huh? It's sweet, isn't it? Yes. You can see why people are attracted and memorized. Having performed all the customary acts of purification, they, Rama and Lakshman, went and finished their ablutions. And having gone through their daily routine of devotions, they bowed before the sage, before Vishwamitra. When the time came, the two brothers took leave of their preceptor and went out to gather flowers. Having gone out, they saw the lovely royal garden